You're listening to Comedy Central.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. And we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
November 26, 2018. From Comedy Central's World News headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition.
Tonight is a founder of the Black Eyed Peas. William is here, everybody. His new project is an amazing combination. It's an album, a graphic novel, augmented reality. It's an experience. It's a concert. It's a tour. It's basically too much. But first, let's catch up on today's headlines. Big news in space travel today. NASA celebrated the touchdown of its latest spacecraft on Mars, which could be the next step in successfully colonizing space. And look at how happy those scientists are, huh? That's clearly the first time any of them has ever scored a touchdown. Look at that, look at that. And speaking of Mars, Elon Musk is still planning on voyaging to the red planet, and anyone who wants to join him might want to think again.
SpaceX CEO hopes to become the first to put people on Mars, and there's a good chance the CEO, Elon Musk, could be one of them. He says that while it may seem like some type of luxury for the rich, living on Mars would be hard work.
There's a good chance of death. You'll be working nonstop to build the base. So you're not much time for leisure. We think you can come back, but we're not sure.
That's your sales pitch? Are you looking to not have fun and then suffocate to death? Come to Mars! I will say it is refreshingly honest, though. We should get Elon Musk to do pharmaceutical ads because he would only tell us the side effects. He'd be like, have you tried Civitrex? It might kill you. Your penis might fall off. And it might clear up your skin, but you'll probably die. It's nice that Elon Musk is so upfront about the details, you know? But you gotta admit, it would've been kind of funny if Elon Musk waited until they landed on Mars to be like, oh, I forgot to mention, you are my space slaves now! Get to work building my base! Because then you realize all those rich white people would be slaving away on the Martian fields. They'd be singing their old Caucasian spirituals. They'd be like, sweet Caroline, oh, oh, oh. Moving on, all parents dream about what their babies will look like. But thanks to some Chinese scientists, you might not have to leave it up to chance.
A bombshell overnight from a Chinese scientist who claimed to have created the world's first genetically edited babies. It's a procedure denounced in the science world as human experimentation. The researcher made the unconfirmed claim that he altered the DNA of twin girls born this month. He said the goal was to give them a trait resistant to the HIV virus. It's a procedure that's reportedly able to rewrite the blueprint of life during in vitro fertilization.
This is insane. Chinese scientists have genetically modified babies to make them resistant to HIV. That's how badly some parents don't want to talk to their kids about safe sex. They were like, do you want to talk to them about condoms or should I? It's like, oh, let's just change their DNA. It's like, that seems dangerous. Okay, do you want to tell them about anal? Okay, no, let's just change the DNA. Let's just change the DNA. Yeah, and you know, they say it's about preventing disease, but let's be honest, you know that editing DNA is just China's plan to build super athletes. Like, you're gonna wait until the 2040 Olympics, the fastest man in the world is gonna be a Chinese runner who's just all legs. People would be like, that's cheating. He'd be like, no, no, it's to prevent HIV, HIV. And finally, California has some good news. The wildfires ravaging across California have finally been contained, right? Specifically, the campfire has been contained. And it's not by luck. This is thanks to the tireless work of so many courageous firefighters. We salute you and what you've done. And if you can, please keep donating. Keep donating, because there are many Californians who will need our help for some time to come. And I was reading about this story today, and it's honestly fascinating, because apparently the firefighters light containment fires pretty much controlled burns to help cut off where the fire can spread. So they're fighting fire with fire, which I was thinking probably pisses off the wildfire, right? Because the wildfire sees the other fire working for the firefighters, and the fire is probably like, oh, you one of those snitch fires, huh? You want to do me like that? And the other fire's like, hey, man, I'm just trying to get a job, man. You know, it's like, oh, shit, you think when I'm out, they're not going to turn those hoses on you, man? You forgot where you came from, you ashy mother. So congratulations, California. All right, let's move on to our top story. The border. America's got two. But we all know which one I'm talking about. It's become a perpetual flashpoint in American politics. Do you shut it all down or do you let everyone in? These are the only two options. And this weekend, it all came to a head.
Breaking news on the U.S.-Mexico border. Federal officials closing down California's largest border crossing right now between San Diego and Tijuana. Shortly after, hundreds of migrants overwhelmed Mexican police and rushed toward the border.
Mexico's Interior Ministry said around 500 migrants tried to violently enter the U.S. Sunday. U.S. authorities claimed some of the migrants threw rocks and other projectiles at U.S. Customs and Border Patrol.
Okay, now, I don't think it's fair to say those people were illegally trying to enter the United States, all right? Maybe they were just rushing into the country for all of those Black Friday deals. You don't know. Yeah, maybe those Hondurans were like, I don't even know what a Roku is, but at 80% off, I would be a fool not to chase across the border to try get it. And you know, what I found really interesting about this story is how much it changes depending on where you get your news.
The U.S. Border Patrol fires tear gas to stop migrants, including women and children on Mexico's side of the divide.
I don't mean to be hyperbolic about it, but clearly what happened yesterday were people trying to invade our border.
You were just hyperbolic about it. So do you see what this is? So it was either innocent women and children who were just strolling through a park in Mexico and they got surprised by tear gas, or innocent Border Patrol agents were attacked by hordes of violent brown people singing the Narcos theme song as they came across. Soy el fuego, venado, so si. And, like, what's also interesting to me is that both sides are viewing this as a validation that they were right all along. One side is like, you see, I told you America is the most immigrant-hating nation of all time. And then the other side is like, you see, I told you they were coming to invade. But let's be honest, this wasn't an invasion, okay? It was frustrated asylum seekers at the border throwing stones, which, we can be honest, probably isn't going to help their case. Because you know Trump is going to use this as proof that all asylum seekers are criminals and dangerous. Like, throwing stones will not help you get into America. Unless you can throw them, like, really fast, like 95 miles an hour. Because then maybe the Yankees will help you get in. They'll be like, yeah, no, bring, he comes in, he comes in. And by the way, one reason these immigrants are getting desperate is that they can't just stay put, because it turns out that Mexico doesn't want them either.
Mexican authorities say that they have arrested 39 migrants and they plan to deport anyone who tried to enter the U.S. illegally. The Mexican government also says that since mid-October, when the caravan first started to arrive here, they have deported nearly 11,000 people, Central Americans, back to their home countries.
We are here because our government has not taking control of these, what we call invasion.
That's right. You may not know this, but Mexico also doesn't want people coming in from their southern border. Like, I bet if Trump watched that on the news, he'd be so confused. He'd be like, you know what? Maybe some of those Mexican rapists are good people. And it's crazy to realize that no matter what country you go to, people can always be racist against someone further south, right? Americans don't like Mexicans, and then Mexicans don't like Central Americans, and I bet Central Americans hate South Americans, and then South Americans are like, get out of here, penguins! You tuxedo-wearing motherfuckers! And now, there are some people who have said, I may not agree with how these immigrants tried to come into the country, but I still think that shooting them with tear gas is a little extreme. Well, if you watched Fox News, you'll see that one man's tear gas is another man's condiment.
To clarify, the type of deterrent being used is OC pepper spray. It's literally water, pepper, with a small amount of alcohol for evaporation purposes. It's natural. You could actually put it on your nachos and eat it.
Yeah. You could put it on your nachos and eat it. This guy makes it sound like people crossing the border is just a scam for immigrants to get free spice. It's just like, oh, man, this food's so bland. Let's try to cross the border, man. For more on this, we turn to a man who is banned from crossing the border into Mexico. Michael Costa, everybody. I would love to know what you think. Do you agree that the American government using tear gas was a step too far? I mean, people were literally running away with tears in their eyes.
Well, thanks, Trevor. I mean, first of all, this whole tear gas thing. I mean, gas doesn't cause tears, okay? Being abandoned by your father because you're worthless causes tears. Trevor, these babies at the border, they need to stop crying because pepper spray, it's basically just sriracha in aerosol form.
So you would eat pepper spray?
Yeah. Put it on a plate of nachos, I'm good.
Oh, because I've got a plate of nachos.
Oh, look, nachos.
I've also got pepper spray.
Bring it on, bro. Yeah.
You said you can eat it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. I mean, you know, these immigrants, Trevor, they shouldn't be put off by a little bit of a hot, spicy pepper. They're not gonna make it in America anyway, Jesus Christ, because these borders. Is it hot in here for anybody else? Or
Michael Costa, we'll be right back.
Get some water.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for The Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
Welcome back to the Daily Show. If you were anywhere on the East Coast during Thanksgiving, you would know that it got so damn cold. Like, it was freezing. It was so cold that your turkey refused to come out of the oven. You're like, it's time. Turkey was like, 10 more minutes. And because of that, some of you might have been thinking, whatever happened to global warming? Well, on Friday, the U.S. government told us.
A new government report says man-made climate change is already wreaking havoc on the U.S. 13 federal agencies warns of more destructive western wildfires, longer heat waves in the southeast, and more powerful Atlantic hurricanes. It says climate change could shrink the U.S. economy by hundreds of billions of dollars by the end of the century.
I love how America always thinks about everything in economic terms. Like, even when they talk about the end of the world, they say, climate change is gonna kill everybody, and that's gonna cost us like $1 billion. But this is big news. 13 agencies, all part of the Trump administration, have released an official report saying that man-made climate change is not only real, but its effects are already here. Yeah, already here. It's like in the movies when someone screams, close the door, we're all gonna die, and then the friend turns and they're bleeding, and they're like, we're already dead. And he's like, no, you're already dead, I'm out. So if the Trump administration said that man-made climate change is happening, then surely the Trump of the administration will finally come on board. But this is what the president said when asked what he thinks of the report.
I've seen it, I've read some of it, and it's fine. Yeah, I don't believe it. No, I don't believe it.
You don't believe it? You don't, how? Fine? How? How can one man possess all the stupidity of mankind? It's like they edited his genes to give him superhuman stupidity. Like the scientists in the lab were like, what should we give him, superhuman strength? They're like, oh, that's dangerous to society. No. That's gonna make him really stupid. What's the worst that could happen? So the president of the United States is throwing away 4 years of scientific work, which is endorsed by his own administration. The question is, what possible reason would thousands of scientists have to lie about climate change? Well, former Senator Rick Santorum has a theory, which he shared on CNN this weekend.
If there was no climate change, we'd have a lot of scientists looking for work. The reality is that a lot of these scientists are driven by the money that they receive. And of course, they don't receive money from corporations and Exxon and the like. Why? Because they're not allowed to, because it's tainted. But they can receive it from people who support their agenda.
Of course. How did we miss it? Climate change is just a scam. It's a scam by scientists trying to get rich. We should have known when we saw them bowling in those Gucci lab coats with the diamond-encrusted beakers, making it rain test tubes in the club. Ow. Oh, and it wasn't just Rick Santorum. After this report came out, right, American news was littered with climate change buffoons. And one of my favorites was this woman NBC brought on to drop this gem.
We need to also recognize that we just had two of the coldest years, the biggest drop in global temperatures that we've had since the 1980s, the biggest in the last 100 years. From the standpoint of those who have doubts about this, and I don't think we can have any doubts that there is climate change, whether it's anthropogenic, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I look at this as a citizen.
Okay. Once you say I'm not a scientist, why is anyone listening to your scientific opinion? I look at this as a citizen. Well, get the out of here with your opinions as a citizen. Like, where else would we accept this shit? You tell me now, where else would we accept this? If someone told me, hey, Trevor, these test results say that you have cancer, but I'm not a doctor, I think you're fine. Trust me, I would not be like, oh, you're not a doctor? No, carry on, carry on, yeah. Tell me your thoughts on my health. And here's the thing, I can play clips from the news like this forever, but why? Why can I play clips like this forever? Why does the news keep bringing on non-scientists to argue against science? I mean, CNN pays Rick Santorum to come on and talk that shit. This woman's group has gotten funding from oil companies. So why is the news having these climate deniers on? Like, why would you do that? Because think of it this way. When Maury Povich brings someone on, if the DNA test says you are the father, then that's it. The science has spoken. He doesn't go, all right, we've done the DNA test, but in your opinion, LeVar, why are you not the father? Because he knows dudes would be like, well, first of all, because it's expensive, and second of all, look at that baby's hair. That ain't my shit. So all I'm saying is, American news, maybe you should respect science as much as Maury Povich does. We'll be right back.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is a Grammy Award-winning producer and member of the Black Eyed Peas, whose new album, Masters of the Sun, Volume 1, features the track, Big Love. All that we are. Please welcome will.i.am. Welcome to the show.
It's good to be here.
You know what's amazing for me is whether it's when I see you, the way you dress, the technology that you employ, you always seem like somebody who's going into the future. But with this album, and I mean this as the best compliment possible, it feels like the Black Eyed Peas are moving into the past, right? This album, Masters of the Sun, it feels like we're going back to Where is the Love? It has that feeling. Mm. Was this a conscious effort to go back to what made the Black Eyed Peas?
Yeah, so this is our 20 years of being like a professional group,
right,
that signed to a label. And so we wanted to reflect on like the, you know, the stage that we were at when we were just dreaming and finally got that record deal. And so that's like organic sounds, you know, and, you know, trying to make our 22-year-old proud.
Right.
Like, you know, the 22-year-old version of ourselves, they need to know, like, lyrically, you can't mess with us.
Right. When you watch that video, I mean, you hear the lyrics and you see what you're talking about. The imagery is clear. You're looking at the Border Patrol. You're looking at people who are immigrants trying to get into a country. You have lyrics about America and its love for guns and how people would prefer guns over children. I mean, these are messages that are not uncontroversial. You know, these are ideas that you have chosen to go with. Why did you feel like that was something important for you guys to do?
You know, Where's the Love? A song that we wrote back in 2001 was about 9/11. And Where's the Love is the reason why, you know, we have careers today. It's
right.
Because we talked about a hard subject where, you know, we questioned where the love was. How is that possible that somebody would think of doing something to hurt people deliberately hurt people and send planes through buildings, like the consciousness of that, like why is that possible?
Right.
And so we wanted to address like today's, you know, problems. Like how is it that we can, you know, support the right to have military weapons, but put our kids in harm's way? Like why can't we fight for our kids to have a safe haven
right.
and have the best education in America and protect our future to where we're, you know, developing and mentoring them and sending them off so we could lead tomorrow.
Right.
That's
right.
not the case. Our Department of Education does not have the funding that companies are putting in artificial intelligence. So that means AI has more funding than HI. And at the same time as you're doing that, you know, we're not putting strict gun laws to have just like background checks
right.
on individuals that have military weapons. Like, I don't care how much money you got, you can't go out and buy a stealth bomber and flex. Like, yo, I'm about to go to London my stealth bomber. You can't do that. There's laws put in place
right,
where you
right.
can't go out and buy a stealth bomber, but you can go out and buy an AR. You can go out and buy military weapons
right.
and then just kill people. Like, I don't understand how many mass shootings have we had in America this year? Like, America. Not the places where people are coming from, you know, to be in America. Our schools have mass shootings.
Right.
Like, how is that? Why is that America?
And that's something you speak about in the album. That's something you speak about in the lyrics. The group has gotten back together. It feels organic. It feels like it's of the world that we're living in now. You have always been someone who exists in the music, around the music, with the music, music adjacent, like the new tour that you've got coming up, for instance. Just describing it seems like it's everything for the senses. I mean, you have augmented reality, you have an interactive experience that is a tour, that is an album. What does that even mean? What is the AR part of the tour going to be?
Yeah, so when you're on stage and you're seeing the people in the crowd and they're watching the show with their phone in the air, I'm like, why is it so important for people to have the phone as their lens and not just do it like it was 1998, let alone 2008. Like, why is the phone that important? So I was like, you know what? Let's, instead of saying, everybody put down your phones while I rock these lyrics right now, I want you to really pay attention to my, like, my acrobatical capabilities. So we're like, we are going to have a layer of augmented reality, which means there's space between me and you right now. So I could augment this entire show to where now I'm making rhyme to reason for the phone. So now you can interact, you can throw hearts at us, you can see a spaceship come and like take us away to another land. So when you we
so
did
now,
the show.
So now you're gonna be on stage and you'll be like, yo, I need everyone to pull out their phones so you can pay attention to my lyrical.
Yo, this the part. This the part where y'all really gonna like this.
But you know what I've always really loved about Will.i.am as a human and as an idea is that you've always been intrigued by where humans are going with technology into the future. You know, you've done a lot of work with AI. AI is something that terrifies many people. They always say, they're coming for your jobs. The robots get smart and then they take our jobs, right? You have a different idea of what AI is supposed to be. What is that?
Well, it's the fourth industrial revolution. For those who are just passively just walking through life, we are in a new catapult to a different stage of humanity and society. Just like we were in 1918,
right.
where there were people that were like afraid that electricity would electrocute you. All the candlestick makers were like, yo, they about to bring light bulbs in this place? Like, my grandfather's been making candlesticks for like ever. Like, just think about the fears that were like getting behind a machine because the horse and buggy
right.
was the business that you were in. Like, the people were afraid about the car. Think about the fears of like, you know, taking aluminum to be able to catapult people across the Atlantic. People were afraid of flight. So here we are, 2019. It's right around the corner. You have it all in your phone. You have your Siri, you have your Google. Okay, Google, you have your Alexa. Like, that is just Pac-Man right now. To be able to tell Siri, I need directions to the airport. Specifically, if you make a right when you're supposed to make a left, it recalculates it, gets you there, and tells you the ETA when you're about to do that.
Right.
What we're about to experience is like, yo, I want to weigh 175 by March 15th, 2020. And then we'll give you directions. You can't do that right now. You will be able to say, my bank account is X, Y, Z. I want to have X, Y, Z, elemental P later on in life.
Right.
It would give you direction. Right now, you don't have that.
Wait, there's so you believe and you want us to get to a point where AI is genuine, like it doesn't feel like a robot assistant, but like a friend who's on your phone telling you how to lose weight and make money.
I don't think it's gonna be. Those are just like basic things that it's
right.
gonna be able
but
to
But it's gonna
do.
Be natural, is what you're saying.
We are all missing a part of us that we are all gonna have 20 years from now. I don't have my AI. The AI I have access to is a company's AI. That iOS is not my iOS. Fact is, your iOS, your Google, your Facebook knows more about you and your life than your family knows about you and your life. It's the first time where companies have more money than governments, religion, kingdoms for giving you something for free.
Right.
When's the last time free equaled hundreds of billions of dollars, by the way? Right, so why is that? Information. Information is always king. We are about to experience the DID, which is the Data Independence Day, to break apart the data monarchies that exist right now in society.
So you're telling me I'm going to become my own Facebook?
No.
And then I'm going to...
Facebook will be Facebook. What you're going to have is your AI. Like, you have your immune system, you have your digestive
right.
system. What you don't have is your information digital system that's yours. You don't
that's
have
in the
that.
Future.
This you don't have that
just
right
like
now.
Living it. Do you ever get frustrated living with the rest of us?
No, I just
because I'm trying to figure out what I'm eating tonight, and you're like, you're telling me that I need my own AI. I'm impressed that the microwave can just do it in a minute. Like, I'm impressed, but, like, now that the microwave has that new thing, it's just like minute and it's like warm up and it does the thing. And you're telling me about like the future. Like, do you ever get frustrated by what we exist in today as human beings? Are you, you know what I mean? It feels like your mind is where we aren't.
No, so I'm from the projects. I'm born and raised poor, sitting in the welfare line, sitting in the free cheese line. And what got me out of that is thinking of a better tomorrow. And that better tomorrow, I design me right now by thinking outside of my limitations, outside of the statistics that they thought I was going to become. So how did I do that? That's how. Yeah.
Always in the future. The album is in the present. Masters of the Sun, Volume 1 is available now. Will.i.am, everybody.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to The Daily Show on YouTube for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.